It's off the hour. That was CKUT 90.3 FM, and it's 5:33. And Kevin is here with the weather report, and David with community announcements.
And here's your weather forecast from CKUT and the Weather Network. This evening, cloudy periods, overnight isolated showers with a low of 14. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high of 18. Looking into Friday, isolated showers with a high of 19. Saturday, a high of 17 with light rain. And Sunday, isolated showers with a high of 18. Looking long ranger into Monday. Raining again, more showers, cloudy with showers and a high of 20. And looking into Tuesday, clouds with a high of 21. And that's your weather from CKUT and the Weather Network. Here's Dave with the community announcements.
I'm Dean Capitalist Assembly. Sunday, June the 1st, 1 to 5 p.m. at Catamos. On 1635 St. Laurent Street, St. Laurent Metro, on discussion with an anti-capitalist and anti-authorization about strengthen our presence now and to start thinking about tomorrow. Written together, I was shared in intimidating purpose, common action, and building the movement nightly, Casome demos to support the student strike and oppose Law 78 every night at 8 p.m. Bring your pots and pans out into the streets and ring and bind them until your name is come out. There are also protests every night starting at Berry Square, 8:30. For more information about protests, go to www.stopbeheights.ca. Anti-Capitalist Assembly, Sunday, June 3rd, 1 to 5 p.m. at the Promo Base, 1635 Sailor Law, Metro Sailor Law. And discussion with an anti.
Thank you for those community announcements.
Okay.
Now we can go into Mass Mix. Here we go. This is CKUT 90.3 FM.
This is Matt doing Mass Mix. You can listen to Jonas Stark's Like a Tattoo. This is Mass Mix out.
About love, I keep coming back for more. second like it was my last one. Don't look back at a new direction.
Don't look back.
I love you once. Needed protection.
No, no.
You're still a part of everything I do. You're on my heart just like a tattoo.
Can't waste time, so give it a moment.
Can't waste time.
Love you last.
Nothing's broken. No need to worry about everything.
No need
I've done
to worry.
Just like a tattoo, I'll always have you.
Well, that was Matt's mix. That was awesome. Hey, Matt. So thanks a lot. You're listening to Off the Hour, your community news show on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. The time is 5:41. We will now continue with the presentation of an autonomous media. A decade after indie media. Here you go, Autonomous Media Room, part two.
So yeah, I'm Laura. I've been working at CUTV for 2 years. I'll give you a brief intro on CUTV. We are a campus community station, and we're probably at this point one of the most active campus community TV stations across North America in terms of how much programming we're putting out there. But we're not the most funded. We've changed our name recently from Concordia University Television to Community University Television because we feel that, you know, our university mandate, well, our mandate towards the students is more and more equal to the mandate that we have towards the various communities that we try to represent and that are part of our membership. That is reflected actually in our funding structure where we've definitely started appealing a lot more to various communities. We are getting different grants for employment and for development or production. So obviously, there's a a recognition there of how the station is funded and how people are getting involved. CUTV has been growing a lot, not only in funding but of course in programming over the last 2 years. Our initial goal was to create programming to be broadcast on cable, not because we feel like the internet, isn't popular enough. Actually, on the contrary, most of the people that have been watching us or have been spreading us are youth, and youth aren't, buying televisions and getting cable. They're watching TV online. But the cable airwaves, the regulations of the CRTC give community stations, radio and television, a minimum of 4 hours per week of programming, and that also comes with funding. So this was a strategy for us in terms of long-term development of, access to funds that would help the sustainability of the station, but also in terms of claiming those airwaves, because we have Vox Television right now in Quebec, but they really don't represent the communities in the same way that we have and proven now. So anyway, we have various shows, but most people know us right now through our news programming because over the last couple weeks, we sort of upped our programming by getting new technologies. We started using a kit called LiveView, which is basically a backpack with a computer in it that broadcasts live on the internet on cellular airwaves, so like a 4G network. So this is a different technology than what the mainstream media is using. And for us as well, in terms of like being able to, give really an up-to-date, very like consistent coverage of what's been going on in the streets or also around us in general, really did change our rapport to the mainstream media or their rapport to us. And it also really broke that limitation that we had as a community outlet where, you get all these volunteer members that are really interested in producing, but then, they have their schoolwork or their jobs or whatever else in their lives, and they may go out and shoot a lot, but they don't always have time to edit it, and then by the time it's out, it's sort of an old story. It doesn't make much of a difference in terms of what's actually going on. And we have noticed that on a smaller scale last year when we started live streaming the CSU council meetings, so the student union meetings, it really politicized the students on campus a lot more. They were more informed, and the vote the following year actually reflected this a lot more, and you know, a more progressive student government came into power. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been really intensively covering the student strike in Montreal, and I think what's happened is that it's the successes that we saw last year, both you know covering student union or also the diaspora communities of the Arab Spring in Montreal as well, was just like sort of blown up to a bigger level. And so this is sort of the introduction I wanted to give you before answering your questions. One of the things about, you know, us being able to use these technologies is really, like I said, it's totally changed the relationship that we have with the mainstream media. And just like Gretchen says about indie media previously, you know, we've caught them by surprise, we're exposing their bias, and, you know, we're doing, like, this uneditorialized account of the actions. I mean, people criticize our audio for being biased, and actually we always wear our bias very proudly or say it and explain to people what it is. And that actually, ironically, at first, you know, the media didn't want to talk about us, so they were always kind of referring to what we were doing as social media, and they wouldn't talk about CUTV. And then when they were kind of obliged to mention us, then they'd be like, oh, a little group of students are covering this. And it's like, no, like, we're an incorporated nonprofit. We have financial statements. You can find all this information on our website. So if you're an actual good journalist, you know, you clearly don't know how to do your research. And then, you know, obviously what that also, you know, forces is the sort of accountability and transparency of the other media. And when you talk about social media, one of the things that's been particularly, you know, different about what we've been doing, I think, is that, you know, there's a lot of great community radio stations and independent journalists out there. But what we've done is sort of like take that momentum of the YouTube era that we're in and, you know, sort of come in with even more force because we're stronger together and we're constantly attracting more people that are involved in different, you know, topic matter or that have different skills. And we keep that door open. It's a key part of our mandate, you know, to sort of find that balance between training new people and getting new people involved versus producing content on a regular basis. And it's a challenge at times as well. But it also sometimes plays in our favor in our relationship with the mainstream media because if they ever criticize, let's say we make a mistake or, you know, we do some kind of misinformation, we can at any point say, well, you know, this obviously is community media and there are times when, you know, there are issues with the way we're producing media, but we recognize that too. So it's not like we're coming from a high point, you know, high moral ground and saying like, oh, you know, we know better. We're just like trying to keep it very like on the ground and accessible. As to the question of the corporate lobby, state institutions trying to restrict access to and sharing information and to commercializing it, and especially the question of ownership, that's also been a big part of what's changed over the past months. But again, this has only been sort of exposed on a larger level lately, but it had already started to happen, you know, even last year. So just to kind of draw a parallel, last year, for example, we had been to the, you know, weekly picket on Saint-Denis against Israeli apartheid, and there was some Zionists that were really sort of aggressive towards our cameraman, Clifton. And he got sort of pushed onto oncoming traffic, and all this he documented and put out a video that was a very kind of like I don't want to say amateurish because it was really exposing, but you know what I mean. Like, it was sort of like, you know, the camera's moving around a lot, and all of a sudden you see, like, people, you hear people yelling. And in any case, what it did expose for sure was that there was this aggressivity in the people that were opposing the boycott. And the video pretty much went viral, and Dumont, the, previous chef of La Décu, has a TV show at Vitelli, and he took the images and then, like, obviously cut out the sound and only took the parts of the images that, you know, benefited his story, and did a story about how Amir Kadir was supporting this boycott, and oh my God, or is he an activist or is he a politician? Because that's obviously contrary to, you know, what you can be in life. And so, you know, we were really pissed off, but we thought, well, you know, do we start a lawsuit against them? I mean, we're a small organization. It would eat up a lot of our funds. So for the time being, we'll just use it as a kind of a pressure point, in a sense, or, you know, like a stripe, you know, because in a way, the fact that they're using our content means that they don't have that content, and they are also trying to attack us through it to an extent. And so now what you've seen is that when we've been in the fire, in the heat of the action during the strikes, you know, we were pepper sprayed, and that image went around the world on networks like CNN and Al Jazeera, and RDI, CTV, and all these, like, local networks are also, like, calling us now on a daily or regular basis, because they sort of finally came to terms with the fact that, okay, like, we can't get that media, and even if we have somebody on the ground getting it, it's not going to be the same as what this community angle is, because they have it in. And that sort of has raised this question of them asking us, like, what's your recipe, kind of, like, trying to find out how they can do the same thing. And for me, what it relates to is, in part, that there's this big crisis in the journalism world, and many journalists are sort of struggling with how to use the new technologies and yet, like, work within these corporate structures, which, you know, it's a bit contrary, basically. Finally, just to wrap up on the last question, I have to agree with Gretchen that, you know, it's true that the ICTs do incriminate people, and in the context of the student strike, I mean, there's been une judiciarisation du conflit, de la lutte, which obviously can, you know, our images can play against people. But on the other hand, the police of Montreal, the SQ, and the government in general are also using these technologies. They have a Twitter account, just like we have one or other groups have one. And so in a sense, I think overall, you know, it's very important for people to continue to use these technologies, and in this case, to use as much the cutting-edge technologies that we can afford or that are available to us, because it will help us, you know, continue to reflect the diversity of voices, the diversity of tactics. And you can see that right now, I mean, our support is growing. We never feel in danger, let's say, in the protest, which is a question that the mainstream media ask us time and time again. Like, oh, have you been attacked by the protesters? And yeah, no, never. So I think I'll just finish up on that.
So my name's Tim. I'm with the Montreal Media Corp. And I'm also one of the editors with the Dominion magazine, which is the magazine published by the Media Co-op Network across the country. So maybe just, like, I think a lot of people here, it's a mix, some of you are familiar with the Media Co-op, so I'll give a brief kind of background on what it is and how it works. So the Media Co-op is an officially incorporated cooperative. It's a multi-stakeholder, or in French it's a better word, it's a Co-op de Solidarité, so a solidarity co-op, which I think kind of cuts through this idea of multi-stakeholder and maybe kind of speaks to the root of how this kind of co-op can interact with community media and kind of it presents an interesting model for building a media organization and a community organization. And the roots of that was that the organization started with just a magazine called The Dominion and was a pretty close, even though it involved a lot of people and had its mandate to work with communities and people on ground and frontline communities and and the tagline had always been news from the grassroots, there was a realization that after a certain point, just putting out a magazine with a small editorial collective wasn't meeting that mandate, that it was closed, that it had a limited viewpoint. Even with the willingness and openness of the people involved on the collective, that was still kind of kept that small. And also on the fact of resources, that if you want to build something that, at the time with the magazine that wanted to reach across the country, that it didn't make sense, that it would be a small collective, that the resources just would never be there, and that it had to be rethought differently. Maybe today with the more kind of collectivization and abilities through new technologies we've been talking about, that more and more people can work together, that maybe seems like a bit of an obvious observation, but when the magazine started, it was still kind of rooted in an idea of print media and of that kind of being still a way to get written journalism and written news, whether community-based or otherwise, kind of out. And it just definitely, in 2008, we switched to being a co-op that was based more and more online and working not just from a small collective, but with local media cooperatives that were based in idea of growing membership and also working from different communities and not from just a small collective accepting pitches and deciding, that's very much gatekeepers of what kind of news we get published. So the idea of the co-op as a solidarity co-op is that there's different kinds of members. So there's reader members, so anybody who subscribes to the magazine or who gives a yearly donation of $15 becomes a member of the co-op and is a reader member and has votes at AGMs, and we do the best as we can to try to institute different ways to involve the readership in the decisions of the organization. So going beyond just involving the producers of media, but also if people, because in how people interact with media, not everybody necessarily wants to be a producer, but we still want to try to find a way that people who aren't producing and choose not to, that can still have an active voice and a significant voice and hold also the organization accountable, that changes the accountability from being either only to us or to advertisers, but also to readers or viewers or people who interact. But also really importantly, it's that contributors are members as well. So anybody who contributes to the Dominion and on the website after a certain point become members as well through their work. And so it's a way to involve people on an equal playing field, in a way, in how decisions are made within the co-op and in the network as a whole. And the idea is really that it's based more in communities than just as a top-down structure. So there's four local media co-ops right now in Montreal, Vancouver, Toronto, and Halifax. And there are open collectives that anybody can join. And it's very much based off of, and many of us were involved in indie media before being involved in the media co-op. And especially I was just starting with the media co-op when it became that. But the people who have been working on it before that and kind of brought it to that point really had in mind of building upon the indie media idea and also to work in conjunction with indie media organizations that were still existing, because obviously like it's still a flourishing, but it was to try to experiment with a different model of based on the co-op. And obviously there was also the financial aspect of it, trying to figure out how we could auto-finance as an organization. And so having membership that people could...
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on.
That does it for this edition of Off the Hour. My name is Kevin, and Gary has been my co-host, Dave. And thanks also to Steph for engineering tonight. If you would like to hear the rest of this piece or receive a copy of the recording, email news@ckut.ca. We want to thank everyone who worked on making tonight's show possible. Thank yous due to all those who make educational and inspirational radio here at CKUT possible. Here at CKUT, we are a group of over 50 volunteers. We have not given our plans to the police, and we will not be asking for permission to broadcast this show. For more information on anything you've heard tonight, or if you'd like to participate or support news produced by and for the Montreal community, please contact CKUT's Community News Department at 514-448-4041, extension 6788, or news at ckut.ca. Stay tuned. Hersey's on deck, and coming up next for the rest of the crew, this is Kevin saying we'll see you in 7. Kev